Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's Van Halen bringing us back. We're going to jump right into our visit with our good friend Pam Harper. Pam is the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock. She is one of the folks who helps us maintain a high level of effectiveness as managers. I told you earlier that that one of the things that you and I have to be able to do more and more in the 21st century is to be better managers, not just, we've already got our business founded. That work's done. You know, now that we're operating, we've got customers, we got to be better managers, and we got to think more like managers and less like, you know, less like part of the crew. And one of the ways we do that is we listen to people like Pam. Pam is, I think I mentioned, she's the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock, and she's our good friend. Pam, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Pam, I keep saying this because I love the way it sounds. I said that earlier in the year that 2008 was going to be the year that we would live the Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. And I said that because I believed that it would be one of the most interesting, and in fact, I made the prediction it was going to be the most interesting political year of my lifetime, and that it would be a very interesting, which might not always be to say fun, economic year, that we would have our challenges this year, but I am hopeful about the year. I don't think it's going to stay like that, but regardless, we have a team. We have those of us, especially those of us who have employees. We have teams that we've got to manage, and they're getting bombarded with all kinds of information. Some of it is real, some of it is mythical. How do we deal with all this?
Well, I think that you've hit on a very interesting point. We are living in interesting times, and they're only going to get more interesting. Certainly, we've just lived through a Super Tuesday. We don't know whether we're in a recession or we're not. Some people say yes, no. It's easy to get distracted, and what's most important for all of us as leaders and managers is to be focusing on how we can build a high-performance culture despite the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, exactly. In fact, what I've said is, recession, no recession, so what? I'm going to be in business a year from now anyway.
Well, that's right.
It's just a matter of I just have to say, okay, I have been introduced to this set of realities, and I have to manage those realities with the skills that I have.
And, you know, I think we have a lot more control over our businesses than we think we do. And that's what I see borne out time and time again when I work with my clients, is they really find that they have more control. They've overlooked and underestimated ways that they can lead and manage their organizations, even the tiniest
right,
businesses, so that they can do this. And that's why I think culture is so important. You know, a lot of people don't think that they have a culture when they're in very small businesses. Do you get that?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it, and they couldn't be more wrong.
Just, no,
it's
absolutely.
The same,
in fact,
it's the same kind of attitude that makes them believe that they don't have brands because they're a little company.
That's right. Well, I believe, and I've seen, that every business from day one has an evolving culture, because all culture is it's the values, beliefs, and attitudes and practices that go on in a business. And so if you're a gang of one, as I call it, you still have a culture, because how you behave, all your values, beliefs, and practices, everything from where you locate your office to the type of stationery you use to everything else, is your culture.
Well, absolutely. And so, but let's say that everybody's sitting at your knee right now, Pam says, okay, Pam, I agree with you. I get this. What do I do with that information?
Okay, well, there are three steps. See, three of everything, right?
I knew you'd have something good for us.
Three steps are good. But the three steps, the first step is that you have to become attuned to both of your cultures. Now, I've just told you you have a culture, and now you're hearing me say you have two cultures. At least, but two cultures.
No extra charge either, right?
That's right. You have two cultures, and they're very simple. One is the formal culture. It's everything that you put in your policy books and your statements and your business plan, and it's everything that you see yourself
the
ideally being.
The things that you've thought enough about, the things that you've thought about enough to write them down.
That's a good way of putting it. But you also have an informal culture, and the informal culture is what really happens.
How things really are.
That's right. So that if you are saying, for instance, like I remember going into one small printing shop, and they had a huge banner on the wall over the desk, and it said, "We care. That's what makes the difference." And they had a reputation for having very bad service, but I thought, okay, they're trying to care. So I went in, and I see this banner, and there's a line of people stacked up about 10 deep, and there's one clerk who's talking on the phone and doesn't seem to care at all about the line that's forming. So there's an example of the formal culture.
Did you ask them to take the sign down?
No, all of us just walked. We did. Yeah. This was not a client of mine, but if
right.
I had, I would have said, there's a different way to go about it. But the first step is that the owner, in this case, needed to be attuned to both of the cultures, because the one that was being demonstrated is, we don't care to care.
Right.
Or we can't care.
Well, that owner, he or she should have walked out the back door, walked around to the front, and come in the front door like you did.
Well, that's right. That's a good way to start getting that awareness.
Management by walking around.
Uh-huh. You have to take a look at your business with fresh eyes and say, what's really happening on a day-in and day-out basis? And sometimes it's also who has friendships with who, where people sit in the lunchroom, if you're big enough to have one. I remember going into one company, was a client, where it was about 100 people in the company engineering, and all the one type of engineer played hearts at lunch, and another type of engineer played Uno at lunch. You know, there's a culture there.
Those engineers, they're wild and crazy boys, aren't they?
Absolutely. But, you know, these things matter, because what it's showing you is how people
hearts.
Form.
Whoa, I bet that was a crazy scene. Hearts.
It was. And let me tell you, the people in between were doing other things. But the point that's most important is to recognize what is going on in your business, what's really happening versus what you think.
That's right, and no amount of documentation, if you can't find a way to make it happen in reality. In fact, the documentation could make you look pretty dumb, like that printing shop we were talking about. 20 after, we're going to be right back with our good friend Pam Harper. Here are the Drifters to take us out. Stay with us.
Jim, this is Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Editors. Has it really been 10 years? I guess it only feels like 20. Anyway, happy anniversary.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'll get it right in a minute. 23 past the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. First one is where you can find the show and the newsletter, the blog, the articles, the Brain Trust members like our good friend Pam Harper, who's with us right now. And, of course, AskJim.biz is our knowledge base where you can get small business answers now. And everything there is free, no barrier to entry. If you can show up and come on, we'll let you come on in and hang out with us. Pam is talking to us about a very important topic. And, by the way, her website, her book is called Preventing Strategic Gridlock. And, Pam, give us your website, please.
The website is businessadvance.com, and the blog is pamharper.com.
All right. So check those out. And we're talking, Pam, about some of the things that we have to deal with in our businesses. You were talking to us about, you have a list of three things. The first thing was the corporate values, the corporate
right. Staying
the
attuned corporate to both of your cultures.
Culture and the values that you state, the values that are real that come out of that. And Pam, isn't it important to realize that a lot of the culture, in fact, I'm going to say it this way. You see if you agree with me. 100% of the culture is a result of the culture of the behavior of the owner or the leaders, or what they allow.
I would say that it's a blend, really. I have seen cultures that have overtaken leaders, but the leader truly has a great deal to do with this.
But they allowed it.
They allowed it. And that's what we're really talking about today. We're talking about how you as a leader and manager can shape your culture so that you can get more of the results mm-hmm. that you need and want.
And let me say this, Pam. Culture, folks, is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You just got to make sure you got a good culture.
You have it whether you want it or not.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
It's like personality,
but what I
want to right?
say, Jim, is very important here, is that if you have a clash between your formal written down culture, you know, we're a team, we're this, we're that, and your informal culture, the informal culture will win every time.
Right.
So in other words, what really happens mm-hmm. is going to be what wins over written policy.
No matter what you write down.
That's right.
No matter how much in denial you may be.
That's right. And so one of the things that you need to be aware of, the first thing you need to be aware of is what really happens along with what you think is happening. But there's more, and I do want to get to that.
Okay, go ahead.
The second step is to weigh the cultural fit, both of those cultures, with the organizational performance. I use words like organization. Everybody's out there going, oh, we don't have one. Yes, you do, too. You do, too. Even if you're a very tiny business, you have an organization because you may be depending on suppliers and alliance partners.
Vendor partners.
Mm-hmm. You know, partners. So anyway, with the organization performance needed. So in other words, going back to that printer business, here was a situation where they were trying to grow and they were trying to capture new business. They needed to demonstrate that they cared, so they put up a sign, you know, we care. But the problem was that their organization could not perform as if they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to look before you enter into any kind of a new market, for instance, if you're trying to grow, what are we going to need to be able to do differently or better to demonstrate, you know, what's our culture going to
sometimes,
be able to do?
Sometimes your desire to grow exceeds your organization's ability to perform.
That's
when you run into these problems. And so you got to check your position, don't you?
That's right. And in fact, as a rule of thumb, what I say is the bigger the change to the informal culture, what really happens, the more time, energy, and resources it takes to successfully achieve your objective. So bear that in mind.
Well said.
You can't make the changes overnight.
Number three.
The number three is that once you've identified where you want to go, then you start adjusting different aspects of your culture as necessary. So mm-hmm. let's say that you don't have the skill set. Maybe the people in your business do not have the skill set to be able to do something. Sometimes you don't know where these changes are coming from. Then perhaps they need some training. If they are unwilling to do what you need them to do, then it becomes an issue of what's stopping them? Why are they mm-hmm. unwilling? What's getting in the way? And it could be all kinds of issues, even including communication between mm-hmm. you and your folks.
Would it be helpful to have a meeting with, especially maybe initially with the managers, or depending on how big your team is, and then ultimately with everyone, and say, you know, let's talk about our culture. If you were going to define our culture, what would you say? Would that be helpful?
I think it's always important to get feedback and to get as many inputs as possible, because in my book, for instance, I talk about one of the assumptions that leaders make is something I call tin ear syndrome, you know, where you think that there's only one tone of reality and it's your own, you find out that other people have other views about
what's
going on. That's
called managing inside your own head instead of in your business.
Uh-huh. And you can't really lead successfully or manage successfully if you don't have those other points of view.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know if we have time for a story here, but...
I actually don't, and I'm very unhappy about that because I love your stories. But I really think, number one, you got a culture.
That's right.
Number two, It was number,
number two.
Two
is you want to weigh the cultural fit with the type of performance needed in your organization. Third is adjust as necessary.
As necessary. Pam, give us the website one more time.
It's businessadvance.com, and there is a special report on this as
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah, special report that's different from the Harper report, right?
That's right. You go
Be
to
sure
businessadvance.com/culture, and you can get access to that.
Check it out, folks. It's all for you. Thanks, Pam, for being there. See you next time. Quick break. Right back with Congressman Steve Chabot right after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.